I thought about that as Smokey was talking about how much we need the Lord. So let's see if we can get on about the Father's business and what He's charged me to do today. The little text that I want to read today, we're going to cover the entire book of Ruth, but the little text that I want to read today is taken from Ruth chapter 1, verses 19, 20, and 21. So if you're physically able, would you stand and we'll read these verses. I'll read these verses audibly. You read along there, either in whatever version of the scriptures you have, or you can read here on the board. Ruth 1, beginning at verse 19. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" Amen. Father, we bow together in your presence now, and we confess that we all need you right now. We need your help. We need your presence and your power. We need your comfort. We need your assurance. We need you to teach us, Lord, to reprove us, to correct us, to train us. We need you to lavish us with your love and compassion. And just we want to enjoy your presence today. You promised that in your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. And you promised that you would keep our hearts in perfect peace when they are fixed on you. So here we are, looking to you, calling to you, depending upon you to help us as we now turn our attention specifically to the scriptures. Open them up to us, Holy Spirit. Shine that marvelous light of heaven now on the Word of God. Help us to see what you want us to see, to know what you want us to know, to learn what you want us to learn. But then, Lord, help us to obey what you have taught us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. Our subject for today is motherhood, bitterness or bitter and sweet. Motherhood, bitter and sweet. Now, many of you will know the story of Naomi and Ruth from the book of Ruth. Let me give a quick background for those who may not be familiar, all right? Naomi was a wife and a mother. She was a mother of two sons. And at the time that that the book of Ruth opens up to us, they lived in Bethlehem, all right? You see that in verse 2 of chapter 1. Now, a famine occurred, because of the famine was severe, Naomi and her family moved away from Bethlehem, the place and the area where God was blessing his people, to a foreign land. It's called Moab. All right? You've heard of Moab before. You see that in verse 1. Now, while they were there in Moab, Naomi's husband died. You see? Now, you know that's a devastating blow, isn't it? But then, after that, Naomi's two sons married Moabite women. They married women right in the foreign land where they live. You see that in verse 4. And then we find that 10 years after they had married and lived in Moab, that then the two sons died. You get it? It's in verses 4 and 5. And so that's the background as we pick up our subject matter for today. I want you to see two aspects of Naomi's life. Now, many times when we come to the book of Ruth, that's who we're looking at is Ruth, okay? And rightfully so, that's the name of the book, isn't it, Ruth? But today I'd like for us to think about Naomi, okay? I want us to look at the bitter side of motherhood first. Why? Because we as Christians, we don't deny reality. There are bitter experiences in life for the Christian. Yeah, there are. That's reality. There's grief and sadness and hardships and suffering and persecution and affliction and all the. You see, the Bible doesn't deny any of those things. That's real. That's real living for the Christian. And so there is a bitter aspect of motherhood. But then there's also a sweet, you see, aspect that we likewise don't want to deny. What's that? What's the old song? When I look back over my life and consider it all. You remember that old line, that what the good days, what? Outweigh the bad days. See, I don't deny that there were bad days, but I also don't deny, you see, some people get so stuck in the bad days that they forget that there were what? Good days. But what does that song say? But I have to admit that the good days, what? Outweigh the bad days, so I won't what? I won't complain. Now, that's the fact. That's the fact. When you can face life and the reality that there are good days and bad, and sometimes it's longer than just, you know, it's longer than just a few days. Sometimes there's a season where things are just not going well at all. But I also know that there's good seasons as well, yeah? So that's what I want you to keep in mind as we begin to approach this subject matter. The bitterness and the sweetness of motherhood. So let's dive right in. The first thing then, as we look at the bitterness of motherhood, you might know, as I've already told you, that, I've given you the background. So now we find Naomi with her her husband and sons dead, and now she's forced to return to Bethlehem. And if you will... I was debating whether to read this, but I think that in order to get the clearest picture, it's better to read it than me just to tell you the story. So if you got your Bible, you can follow along there. Verses 6 through 18 give us the details, and I just want to read those in your hearing. And it's for those of you who are familiar with it, just read it again and see if you see little nuances that you didn't know before. You got it? Ruth 1:6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, and as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even I should have a husband this night and should bear sons. Would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter. Now you get it already. I wanted you to see this with your own eye. You see? She's already confessing that this experience is what? Bitter. You see that? In verse 13, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Verse 15. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. That's amazing, isn't it? May the Lord do the same to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Now that's amazing, isn't it? You don't normally, and I can't digress here too much, but you know, as we do the marital vows, you know the usual line, through goodness through sickness and health, and you know the good path. Until what? Until death do us part. You know that between a husband and a wife, but have you ever thought about that between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law? That's what she said, isn't it? I will be with you, what? Until death parts us. Now that's amazing, isn't it? The husband's dead. She's free to go. But she said, I'll be with you until what? Death parts us. You see the situation here that Naomi is forced to return to Bethlehem. Now, in this culture, many of you will know this, but in this culture, the woman primarily worked at home. Yes? It was a major responsibility, and it was hard work. You see. Now, a creative and an industrial woman also worked outside the home. As you saw Brother Lay read a little earlier today, you know, but this is rare, right? Many of you know, have studied the virtuous woman, or you, whatever terminology you want to use for that woman there in Proverbs 31. Who not only worked hard in her home, but she what? She worked hard outside of her home. Why? Because she was virtuous. She was she knew that God had given her the grace to do that. Now every woman can't say that, but the primary responsibility ought to be the home. Now if you can handle all that God has assigned your hands to do at home and work outside. You see, that's what Proverbs 31 is getting at, you see. And God gives that grace to many women. And that's a wonderful thing. You get it? But once you find the instructions of the New Testament, places like Titus 2, the New Testament makes it clear. The older women are to teach the younger women to what? To work at what? At home. You gotta get this assignment right first. And as Jesus would say, to the one who is faithful over what? Little, God will, you know, assign you much. And so that happens in many lives of many wives and mothers. They're faithful in their work at home, and then God broadens their territory. You see, gives them a broader area to work. So you see, since Naomi could not provide for nor protect herself in this foreign land, she was forced, you see, forced to return to her homeland, and that is Bethlehem. You've already covered that. Now, by the way, I know I've covered this in a sermon once before, but I just need to mention it here. You all need to be aware of the fact that when Elimelech, that's the husband, and his family left, there is no mention of prayer. There is no mention that God has blessed or given them this direction that is his will. All that we know is that Elimelech decided to go. You get it? And so all of us need to be very careful when we make decisions on our own and then expect God to bless it. And you know how prone we are to do that. You saw that really, really, really wonderful furniture that you cannot afford. but you like it so much, and they will finance it. You just got to have it. And then once you get it, you want God to bless it and provide the income. You see? And it doesn't have to be. I mean, the car, or, you know, whatever it is. So we make so many decisions in life without consulting with God first. But then afterwards, we want God to what? To bless it. And we get surprised when the plan falls apart. Okay? Now, I just mentioned that because we need to be aware of that we don't see this family having prayed or sought God about this move. Naomi then expresses her bitterness toward God. Now, by the way, you need to remember that. She wasn't just bitter, but she was bitter toward God. You remember what she said? I'm extremely bitter because God has done this to me. He's left me in this condition. I'll just jump back over here right quick and read it for you if you don't remember. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town, that's verse 19, by the way, whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me what? Mara, for the Almighty." You see who she's bitter at? "The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." She's bitter toward God. "I went away full." And look at this. Who brought her back empty? "The Lord has brought me back empty." You get it? She blames God for all of it. "Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" That's not a good place to be in. You're blaming God for all the bad happening in your life. Naomi took no responsibility, did she? It's all God's fault. Now, we're not slamming Naomi. I'm just wanting you to see that this is a bad place to be in. Okay? Naomi's name means pleasant or lovely or sweet. Okay? But you see, Naomi could see nothing pleasant or lovely or sweet in her life. Okay? Nothing lovely and pleasant and sweet. So Naomi refused to be acknowledged, to acknowledge her own name. "Don't call me by my name. Call me by a different name," you see? "Mara. I'm so bitter, I don't even want to be reminded that I'm supposed to have sweetness in life." This is a bad place to be in. Okay. So now don't give up on me. You said, "Oh, Brother Willie, we came here to be lifted up as mothers. You want to just hang on." You see, so, y'all do know that the Bible says when you deal with a day, you've got what? Evening and then what? Morning. Y'all do know that the world began in what? Darkness before there was light. So don't get upset that we're looking at, you know, the dark side first. Just hang on, right? The sun will shine again. Don't tune me out and, you know, kick me under the bus just yet. We're just working through this. Why? And I'm hoping that you'll be encouraged to see this. This is real. Amen. God doesn't want phony mothers faking it, smiling, and I'm not, you know, I'm not being crass. But God wants you to be real. If that's where you are, own it. Because all of us get in these places. Yeah? Okay? Naomi says, don't call me by that name. Naomi has experienced a painful loss with the death of her husband. And even in our culture, it's hard, but you can't imagine unless you've lived in a culture where you've chosen to be a homemaker. You've chosen to submit yourself to your husband. And then that, you see, that protection, that provision, that protection is what? It's taken away. So this has been an awful blow. And then her heart was shattered and crushed again. Now she did at least say, well, I've got two sons. But then her heart is shattered and crushed again when her two sons die, leaving her with a sense of hopelessness and desperation. See, bitterness means resentment. Bitterness means deep anger, deep-rooted anger, and it affects the way a believer thinks, it affects the way a believer speaks, and it affects the way a believer acts. That's the reason when a person is bitter, even as a Christian, they can say things that you never thought they would say. Now, this is where I want you to follow me, because this is real. You see, believers hurt, they say things that you didn't think they would say before. And you stand on the sideline, and you don't understand. Okay? So bitterness can affect, because, you know, what we say starts with what? What we think. How we act starts with how we think. And if you are bitter, it will affect both. It'll make you ungrateful. Why? Because you can't see no good. It makes you arrogant. Why? Because all you think about is yourself and how bad you're hurting. It makes you self-destructive, because now you start doing things that are unbecoming of a Christian. You see? And it can happen to a mother. A mother can start doing some awful things because she's bitter. Okay? But, now y'all can lighten it up. Come on now, lighten it up. But we're so thankful that the story doesn't end there. Now I know you wonder why he presses so hard. You have to grasp the gravity of it. You see, those who are saved, why do we have such joy? Because I know where I was. I know the darkness I was in. I can tell you how wonderful it is to now be in the light. God brought me out of darkness and translated me into the light. That's why I'm so joyful. But you see, I don't deny the darkness I was in. That's all that I'm trying to get us to lay hold of. This bitterness, why, Brother Willie? Because you don't want to go there, my sister. Don't go there. It's going to get hard. Don't let yourself drift into bitterness.
Don't go there. And I'm trying to paint it so that you'll see, I don't want to go there. Particularly since I know there's a better way. All right?
Okay.
So the story doesn't end there. Then I want us to, and actually, I want you to think about it. The majority of the book talks about the sweetness. You see? Isn't this good? The majority of the book, chapters 2 through 4, talk about the sweetness. So, we're still okay on time, are we? So let's, I want to spend a little bit of time on sweetness. Now you notice that God provides, by his great providence, God provides for Naomi's needs. Isn't this wonderful? God provides. You got your Bible still open? Drop on down to chapter 2. You got chapter 2? Start reading at verse 1. We'll read the first four verses. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Now, y'all know what gleaning is, right? Gleaning is where when you go and you gather the crop of grain or whatever that you're growing, but you leave a little bit left. You don't try to just clean it, okay? So whatever little bit you left after you've gathered the crop, then the poor can come, you see, and glean and then take what's left. You get it? That's what Ruth is doing here. And she finds herself in a field that belongs to Boaz. And you and I know, that's the reason we don't use words like luck and chance. You see, people looking on might have thought, she lucked up on this field. She didn't luck up on this field. Right? God is still at work. And so God is making a way. God is making a way here for Naomi. Now follow what's going on here. God is faithful to Naomi even when she's angry at him. Isn't this wonderful? That's our Father. Every parent in here knows what it feels like when your children are angry at you, don't we? Or everyone that's ever raised children or had to deal with children, you know what it's like when your children are angry. But you don't stop feeding them because of that, do you? You don't stop taking care of them because they're angry at you, do we? Imagine how much more our Heavenly Father takes care of us when we're pouting and we're angry and we're upset. Yeah, this is wonderful to see the character of God even in situations like this. He wasn't doing this not because she's grateful. He wasn't doing this because she was faithful, but he was doing it because he's merciful and he's faithful. Yes, as Jeremiah says, "Great is your what? Your faithfulness." Yeah, thank God for that. That's how we made it through so many low spots in our lives. God remained faithful while we were still upset. Then you notice that God is working out a plan to secure Naomi's future through Boaz. Now, many of you know the story, so don't give it away. Don't start whispering to others. Just follow. Let's follow the story, right? He's working out a plan to secure Naomi's future through Boaz. You look at, you're still in chapter 2? We stopped at verse 4. Keep reading. Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this? And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, she is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. And then finally, verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, do not go and glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Isn't that amazing? You see God at work? God at work here, securing Naomi's future. So while Naomi is still bitter about her past, God, our loving God, is setting in motion a marvelous, a wonderful plan for her future. Isn't that how it works a lot of times? We're still so upset because of something that happened to us last week or last month or even further back. We just can't get past what happened in the past, and God is already making plans for the future. Isn't that a good God? We're stuck back here, but thank God that God isn't stuck. He knows that we're little children. We're children. And that we don't always please God in the way we think, speak, act, or react. Okay? So God is already taking care of her future. And so you see, the bitterness is blinding, isn't it? Bitterness is blinding and keeps a believer from seeing the goodness of God in their lives. Naomi still cannot see the goodness of God yet because she's still what? Bitter. Now notice that Boaz redeemed and marries Ruth. This is so good. I can't cover all of the ground that takes place between where we stopped here in chapter 2. So would you just go on to chapter 4? And once you get down to chapter 4, find verse 9 and look at that. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witness this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among the living. And then just one more verse there, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Okay? Now, the closest relative was to marry a widow, okay? Why? So that the family name wouldn't be cut off, okay? Now, I'll just tell you this so that you can see the wonder of this. Boaz wasn't the closest relative. There was another man who was a closer relative. And so Boaz had to give that man the opportunity, right, to buy all that belonged to Abimelech and to marry Ruth. But the closest relative said, I can't do it. So I yield my right, yes? And so Boaz, you can imagine it. Boaz, thank God. Boaz wanted Ruth. Boaz, what did they say? Boaz had it bad for Ruth. Because we couldn't cover all the detail. But the boy was love struck. And you can see God working because he really wasn't the first one in line. But isn't it wonderful to know that you don't have to be first to win with God? Yeah. You don't have to be first. And so God worked out this marvelous plan so that Boaz, now by the way, when a close relative bought all that belonged to a family. Elimelech was what? The head of the family. And so he had property and he obviously, you know, had a wife. But in this particular case, he had a daughter-in-law. And so Boaz was interested in the daughter-in-law, but to get the daughter-in-law, you got to do what? You got to take all that goes with the daughter-in-law. And so by the wonderful blessing of God, Naomi gets taken care of because Boaz wanted Ruth. Isn't that amazing? Naomi gets taken care of because Boaz wanted Ruth. Now, I'm gonna get this in a minute, but Ruth wasn't even blood. You know what I mean? Look how Naomi's taken care of. This ain't even her own daughter. We live in a society where your own children won't take care of you. But here's a daughter-in-law that commits herself. And it's amazing. We can learn a lot from a little story like this. And I can't digress much because it's just so much here. And so anyway, Boaz, y'all hear the term redeemed a lot? That means paid. Boaz paid, or he redeemed all that Elimelech had, including Naomi and Ruth. And that's the reason we say Jesus paid what? He paid it all. He's our Redeemer. What did he do? He paid the price for us. You get it? And so there's so many images and pictures here that I can't digress to. And then finally, the last thing I want you to see here is that, oh my, Naomi can finally see how good, how God has restored sweetness in her life. Took a long time, but God, I can't digress. You know this old, it's not a good song. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I feel like saying it. It's a song that nowadays, y'all heard the old line, won't he do it? You ever hear that song? Won't he do it? And I just feel like that. You just need to know God will. He does marvelous things. He does marvelous things. And we miss him. But he keeps on. We sang the song for offering. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. Y'all remember when Phil, how we used to do that? He just keeps on what? Blessing. How much? Over. I'm telling you. He just does. Why? Because he does. Not because we're faithful. Not because we're blessing him back. But he just keeps on blessing me over and over and over again. I wake up on Tuesday and I'm all upset and fussing and care. God just blesses on Tuesday. And if you might be sitting here right now mad and angry and upset, but God is doing what? He's blessing you right now. That's the reason every day should be a what? A day of thanksgiving. What does the song say? Take some time. You see? That's what we got to do. Take some time. Take some time. So this is a marvelous thing. I need to read these last verses. Y'all okay? Still okay? So let's, can you find verse 14? Let's just read these and then I'll try to bring it all together. Verse 14. Then the women said to Naomi, now this is after Boaz and Ruth have married, and Ruth has gotten pregnant and had a son. Okay, got it? Verse 14. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. Oh my. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, now this is a wonderful line here, your daughter-in-law who loves you, look at this, who is more to you than what? 7 sons. She'd been upset about losing 2. And this daughter-in-law is more valuable to you, Naomi, than if you had 7 sons. Open your eyes. Get it? More valuable than 7 sons has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name. Y'all know the end of the story, don't you? A son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father, what? Of Jesse, who? The father of David. You get it? Oh my. Naomi and Ruth are finally secure with the love, provision, and protection of Boaz, which means he is a redeemer. You got it? Ruth gets pregnant, births a son, and Naomi becomes the nurse of the grandfather of King David. Isn't this marvelous?
Yes.
Marvelous. Her daughter-in-law, who's from a foreign land, her daughter-in-law, who was an unbeliever when she was talking, having all this interaction, her daughter-in-law, who she wanted to leave behind, has taken care of her. Her daughter-in-law has become more valuable than 7 sons. God blesses us through some of the most unlikely people. Doesn't he? And in some of the most unlikely places. And God is working good through our circumstances, even when we can't see it. Okay? So let's wrap it up. Y'all have been very patient. Many of you will know the story of Job, right? Job lost his wealth and his health and his children. He lost the support of his family and friends. Job's response, you know his response, don't you? After all of this happens, the Bible says that Job fell on the ground, worshiped the Lord, and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb," what? "And naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed what? Be the name of the Lord." That was Job's response. But Naomi's response wasn't like that, was it? This is not Naomi's response. Naomi's response was bitterness. Now, follow me now. Follow me now. We're trying to bring this all into focus for you. God restored Job's losses twofold, didn't he? Gave him twice as much as he had before. But that's not the case with Naomi. What's your point, Brother Willie? God had one plan for Job, but he had another plan for Naomi. Now, the book of Job was old, and Naomi might have known about that. But imagine how depressed and discouraged she would have been if she started comparing her life to Job. And I'm saying to many of our mothers and women here today, don't start comparing your life to some other woman or some other mother. God's got a plan for you. Yes? And it's wonderful. So he had one plan for Job, and he had another plan for Naomi. Though bitterness blinded Naomi for a little while, God eventually restored the sweetness and goodness to her life. Brother Anthony's favorite verse, one of them anyway, Psalm 30, I believe it is, weeping may what? May endure or tarry or last for the night. But what's the rest of it?
Joy.
Huh? Come on, y'all.
Joy
is coming. It's on the horizon. Yeah, it's dark and it's hurting and it's painful now, but lift up your eyes. Look at the horizon. Joy is right there. Nobody can stop it. Nobody. Nobody can stop it. Unless you're just going to continue to wallow back here. And the weeping when God is saying, I've already brought you joy. You get it? Lift up your eyes and see that God will eventually bring the sweetness and the joy to your life. It's my hope, it's my desire, and it's my prayer that today every mother, every female guardian or mentor or whatever your relationship has been to a young person, every single woman and every believer here will be free from the bitterness of life circumstances so that you can see the goodness of the Lord. You said, Brother Willie, it took you these 40 minutes. Yeah. It took me all this time to get to this point. It's my prayer that everyone in this room will be set free from the things that are keeping the dark cloud over your life so that you can see the goodness of the Lord. You know what the psalmist says? Oh, what? Taste. You got to taste it for yourself.
Yes.
You say, I really like what we covered today. It ain't going to do you no good. You see? If all that you're doing is just reveling in what we've done here today, you got to do what? You got to taste it for yourself. If you're going to leave, you came here upset and angry and bitter, and you're going to leave here that way, you haven't tasted. You got to taste it for yourself. Not the worship service, not the songs, not the prayer and the praise. Taste and see what? That who? The Lord. You said, well, Brother Willie, you spent all that time. I did. I spent all that time showing you that eventually Naomi had to taste it for herself. Took her a long time. And it may be some of you. You're on the journey. And I'm saying, it's right there in front of you. Taste it for yourself. Because the Lord is just as good today as he was 8 months ago when the big hole was in your heart. He was good then, wasn't he?
Amen.
And if there's someone, either here or listening by Zoom, that really has never tasted of God's goodness and salvation, I just would invite you to do that today. There's no other way. There's no other way for these experiences that we're talking about here. You can't have them unless you come to the Lord himself. He's the one, right? Salvation is in him. That's the reason he's the Savior. So put your trust in him. Lord, I thank you for these few minutes, and where I have been ineffective or failed to communicate as you would have, would you please let that be thrown to the ground and never remembered again. But Lord, where you have spoken and where your people have heard, you promise that your word will not return to you empty. Your word will not return to you void without accomplishing the very purpose for which you sent it.